think I'd like to be standing down there all together around a circle or something, but I know it probably can't be done right now. But I'd like to look over in the 2 Kings, the 5th chapter. I want to write something on the board. Can you read that? It's supposed to be the healing of Naaman. I want to look over into 2 Kings, the 5th chapter. I'll ask you, was Naaman an Israelite or a Jew? Syrian. What?
Syrian.
As we read this story, I would like for us to notice the different characters that come in the story. We're going to find a little maid. I don't know how old she is. We're going to find out some of the circumstances of why she was down in Syria. We're going to find out the man Naaman. We're going to talk some about him. We're going to find out his circumstance, the kind of man he was, how the Lord worked with him. We're going to find out there's another particularly interesting man. We don't know his name. I don't remember his name anyway. I don't think it's said here. A man that's his servant. Special helper as Naaman was going along. He has a real pivotal role in this story. We're going to find him going to the king of Israel. We're going to notice the consternation of the king of Israel and how he felt like he was being trapped. And then we're going to find Elisha saying, send him here. And then we're going to find Elisha said for Naaman to do. And so anyway, we're going to go through this story. And I would like for us to notice the way the Lord worked with humanity. He cared enough for an enemy, Assyrian, that he was willing to work with a man and give him something special. All right. Now Naaman, a captain of the host of the king of Syria. It's thought, now I can't tell you for sure, I guess I could have tried to look up a little bit closer his situation, but it's thought that Naaman could have been amongst that group. You remember when Ahab, that went down and visit Ahab. They had had some, I think, that period maybe of 2 or 3 years of peace between the Syrians and Ahab, and the king of Judah came down and visited the king of Israel, Jehoshaphat. Thank you. I wasn't even, couldn't say it right, but Jehoshaphat came down there to visit him, and Ahab said, I want to go down there and fight with the Syrians. And so Jehoshaphat said, I'm right there with you. We're brothers. My horses will be yours. My chariots will be yours. We'll work together on this. Well, got ready to go down. You know the story. It was quite a story. Because Jehoshaphat said, can't we talk to the Lord about it first? And so they went and collected seers or prophets. And they came there and said, well, what's the Lord saying about this? And oh, they had a lot of good stories. And you go down there and you're gonna really rout them. So the Lord said, go ahead. And they heard all these people saying this. And Jehoshaphat said, is there not a man of God here? Sound like he wasn't really trusting what all these others were saying. And Ahab said, yes, there is one. But I don't like him. Because he's always saying bad things about me. I'm putting this in my words. That's pretty well, you read it. That's kind of what he said. He never says anything good about me. Anything I want to do, he's going to prophesy against it. And Jehoshaphat said, can't we go ahead? So, okay. So they went and got him, and Jehoshaphat, and the prophet of the Lord came down and didn't give a good prophecy. And what? At first he did, yes. But then he said, he knew what the answer really was. Yeah, the prophet came back. They came to that prophet and said, now everybody else has been saying this. You let your words be like everybody else. Don't rock the boat here. So he went down there and gave the same report. He said, tell me the truth. I'm not going to like it. He told him the truth. And so I think Ahab knew that there were some truth to what the man of God said. But yet he thought perhaps he was going to be able to circumvent that in a way. So when they got ready to go out to battle, do you remember what he said? He said, I'm going to put on my just regular clothes. I'm not going to look like the king out there. But Jehoshaphat, you go ahead. You look like the king. You put on your kingly garments and let's go out into battle. So on the Syrian side, and I think they think perhaps it was Naaman that was the leader of the other side, or in that the opposing group at that point. And they said, "Let's. When you see the king, you just follow. Don't worry about anybody else. You just follow and get this king." Well, they saw a king. It looked like he was Jehoshaphat, though, and they went after him and chased him. And when they got close to him, he cried out, and they realized it wasn't Ahab. So they left off, and it sounds like one of the group that was chasing him, in my mind, it seems like it was almost out of frustration. He turned around and flung an arrow over there at a group of men. That was, just flung one in the air over toward him, and you know what it did? It found Ahab. Not only found Ahab, but it went right down between the joint of his armor and went down into him and took his life. So there's some belief, when I look into it some, that Naaman may well have been either the man or of that number that this happened with. Now Naaman was captain of the host of the king of Syria, and was a great man with his master. He was honorable because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man in valor. Had a lot of respectable things about him. The king of Syria put a lot of confidence in him. He was a valor. He was a man of valor. He was trustworthy. He was a great man. Very trustworthy for the king. But then the last part of this verse says he was a leper. Now, leprosy of the day was, I know we can liken it to the degrading. First, let's just look at leprosy a little bit of that day. It was despicable. It was degrading to the person who carried it. It was Naaman was used to taking his sword and beating a lot of. He was a man of valor. There was a lot of things that he conquered. There was a lot of things he could go out confidently and get a hold of. But not this one. Leprosy was in him. He couldn't defend against it. It had gotten a hold of him and had begun to grow in his body. Isn't that a whole lot like sin does today? It gets a hold, and it starts making a mockery out of that person. It is damaging. It portrays it in public. It's a mar on that person. It's a mar on that soul. It's a despicable thing. It becomes putrid. It becomes deadly, and it slowly eats and continues to take that person's life. It might limit them, but slowly and incrementally bring them to a place of destruction. Just like sin. Naaman was a leper. Wasn't a thing he could do about it. There was no cure. You just had to be known as Naaman the leper. Naaman, this is his problem. He can't fight this one. He's just going to have it. And it was attached to him. Even though he was a great man in many respects, he had leprosy. And the Syrians had gone out by companies. Another character in this story is getting ready to be introduced here. The Syrians had gone out by companies and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid. She waited on Naaman's wife. It seems to me quite unjust. I believe it would be. I think we'd all recognize it. It sounds like these Syrians had gathered themselves together and I don't know, maybe not an organized military campaign, but there may have been some rough-ins, some people who just decided to gather themselves together and go out and go marauding through over into the land of the Israelites, and they would plunder and steal whatever they could, take captives, and they found this little maid. I don't think she was an orphan. I don't think she was just wandering around and didn't have a home to go to. I think they just stole her. And they took her. I would like to ask you right now, how do you think you'd feel if you had been stolen? I think you'd feel pretty unhappy about it. And I might be a little predisposed to pooch out my lip. Well, I'm just trying to paint a picture of how she may have not wanted to help her master. You stole me. You took me away from parents who love me. I feel awkward and strange over here in a different land. I don't know how to speak your language very well. Why? And you're making me do work for you, and why? And likely she felt pretty bad. But it's somewhere along the path of life, this little maid really, she's remarkable to me. It says to me something, probably before she was stolen, she had some parents at home that taught her something about her God. I don't know how else you're going to get the victory like she got without having some parents that were devout, very caring, very loving, parents who taught her something about moral character and value of doing things right and honorable. She could have chosen another route, and she would not have been in the position that she was in if she was sullen and mean-spirited and didn't like the people around. And she, from my perspective, it sounds like it'd be very normal to not like those who had carried her away captive. And here she was as a slave. But this little maid, the Syrians had gone out by companies and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid. And she waited on Naaman's wife. And she said unto her mistress. She saw a problem with Naaman. She noticed that he was sick. And she didn't go over into her corner and say, Lord, smite him again. She could have. She said, Lord, get even with him. That's not the spirit that showed here. She got some victories, folks. I want to tell you, children, the Lord's got some victories for you. This little maid got some victory. She didn't carry away an attitude that hurt her. Instead, she was there wanting the best for her master. That's a fantastic victory, folks. This little maid waiting on Naaman's wife, and she said unto her mistress, "Would God, this is the most caring terms that she knew how to speak. I wish with all my heart that Naaman could be over there where you got me from. Because when I was there, I heard a prophet. I heard a man of God over there. I heard him preach. I saw things that he did. And I know my God is alive." She believed it. This was not idle words that she was speaking. This is something she believed. This little maid got a hold of something. I believe her parents had exposed her to all the godly character and the righteous ways that they knew how to. "I would God my Lord were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover his leprosy." I believe this would work. If he'd just go over there. Now what's Naaman? How's he going to get over there? They weren't friends. Naaman was the leader of an opposing army. If you go encroaching over into this land, and you can't, it's not like you can go over there with an army and capture the prophet. "Now I got you under my power, and now you're going to heal me because I got you." It wouldn't have worked. He went over there. He had to change his attitude, didn't he? He had to become humble. We're going to see how the Lord worked on him. And notice the path that the Lord took him to the place that he could get healed. He couldn't get healed this first day because he wasn't in the right spot in his heart yet. "And one went and told his Lord, saying, I heard thus and thus. I heard this little maid say this. That if you'd just go over here, if you could somehow get over there into Samaria where the prophet, she knows this prophet over there. She said, he can heal you. Thus and thus saith the maid, that is of the house of Israel. And the king of Syria said, Go and I will send a letter unto the king of Israel. So evidently the king of Syria thought so kindly and so very, he considered Naaman to be of such value to him that he said, if this is the case, I won't spare any expense to send him over there. I'm going to send a letter. I'm going to send a lot of gifts. I'm going to do all I can. But so this is the case now. He's sending king of Syria, said, Go, and I'll send a letter unto the king of Israel. And he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver. This is a considerable sum. And 6,000 pieces of gold. And 10 changes of raiment. And he brought the letter to the king of Israel, saying, Now, when this letter is come unto thee, behold, I've sent with this letter and all these gifts, I have sent Naaman, my servant, to thee, that thou mayest recover him of his leprosy. Now the king, it came to pass when the king of Israel had read the letter, that he rent his clothes. Because the letter just said, send a Naaman over there that you might recover him. The king knew he couldn't do it. It's way beyond him. He said, this has got to be a trick. He's just trying to create an occasion to go to war with me. He was in consternation. He rent his clothes, knowing he couldn't. And perhaps the king of Syria may have thought that, he's got the prophet. I can't go over there and capture the prophet and make him do what I... But that king over there, the prophet's under his control, and maybe he can go and command the prophet of the Lord and have him come and do this. Folks, there's none of us can command the Lord. Not a one of us. We stand at his mercy. Now, he's a very merciful and loving God. And we can come boldly to the throne of grace. But we can't, should never come arrogantly. Or in a way in which I command God. From my human desires and human passions. God is a God that wants to be honored. And rightly so. We should honor him and worship him. And bow before our Lord and our King. Happy to. I'm your little child, Lord. And I ask that you'll have mercy on us. So, sorry. This King felt his absolute inability and his frustration, perhaps fear. Sorry. And it came to pass when the king of Israel read the letter that he rent his clothes and said, "Am I God to kill and to make alive? I don't have that within my abilities. And that this man does send unto me to recover a man of leprosy? Who's got the answer for leprosy? I don't. There's nobody that man knew back then that had the answer for leprosy." Thank you. I'm sorry, y'all. I'm not even sure I know how to get this open. There I go. And so he, see, to recover his leprosy, "Wherefore consider, I pray you, and see how he seeketh a quarrel against me." Eighth verse now. "And when it was so, when Elisha, the man of God, had heard that the king of Israel had rent his clothes, that he sent to the king, saying, 'Wherefore hast thou rent thy clothes? Let him come now to me.'" I don't believe that Elisha had the spirit of arrogance. I don't believe he felt like that, "I can handle it. Just let me handle it." I think he was a humble man and realized that his strength came from the Lord. And I believe it was the Lord working in this case. And he knew, and he said, "Send him to me." I don't think he was looking for personal acclaim. There are people in this world that would like to be able to do all the big things. And if I could just have the gift of healing, I can do this, and everybody will look on me, and they'll all come to me. I don't think that's what Elisha was like at all. But he did say, "Send him here." That was the right place for him to go, over to the man of God. And Naaman came. "No, and let him come to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel." And Naaman came with his horses, with his chariot, stood at the door of the house of Elisha. And Elisha sent a messenger unto him, saying, "Go, wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean." Now Naaman wasn't used to being disregarded. He was captain. He was leader of men. He was used to people coming to his door, coming to him for answers. And hearing he might command somebody, "Y'all go do this, you do this," But this was a man that was used to commanding others, and he came and stood before this door of this tent or this house, and the prophet just sent a messenger outside. Didn't Naaman, I wonder, he thought, well, doesn't he know I've got all this? I've got 10 changes of garments, and I've got all these talents of silver and this gold. I've got all these gifts. Can he not even come out and look at me? When I started on this journey, I had a lot of hope. I believed it was going to be like this. In my mind, I could almost see it. I could come there with all these gifts, and the man would be so attracted to all my gifts, everything, that he would come out, and he would probably lift his hand to heaven and strike his hand over the spot on me, and it would be healed. Oh, he had it all planned out, didn't he? The Lord doesn't always do it like we plan it. Especially he won't if we've got a heart full of pride. If we decide you've got to do it my way, I've got it all figured out, and if you do it this way, I'll have quite a story to tell. I'll tell them how I bought this, how I went. The Lord doesn't work that way. The Lord works through a very humble, heart humbling way. Well, here, Naaman. Man came out from the door of the house of Elisha. The servant came out, the messenger said unto him, "Go wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again unto thee, and thou shalt be clean." Sound like he was going to get the answer. He would have got exactly what he wanted if he'd have just obeyed. He was offended. "Don't you know I'm better than that? Don't you know I've got all this money? You ought to at least show me the respect to come out. You ought to, don't you know I'm captain of the Syrian army? I'm special. And I came a long way." Eleventh verse, "But Naaman was wroth, went away and said, 'Behold, I thought he would surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and strike his hand over the place and recover the leper. Are not, and I don't know, these rivers that he refers to over there in Damascus, are not... Abana, I don't know. Y'all can read him. Hopefully you can do it better than I do. Be named a couple rivers over there in Damascus. They're better than all the waters of Israel." I don't know what it was he may have thought. Maybe he thought those waters in north, at the other part around in Damascus area, he may have thought that was the best looking water. I don't know, but he said, "Aren't these better than all the waters down here in Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean?" So he turned away in a rage. Oh, how easy it is for our flesh to get in the way of the blessing of the Lord. How easy it is for us to find a reason to rise up in my carnal self and defend myself, and I have got a reason they didn't treat me right. And all the time, right in front of us, the Lord's holding out the blessing. If you'll just deny yourself, take up your cross daily and follow me, you'll have eternal. Go sell all that you have and come and follow me, and you'll have treasure in heaven. But the price was too high. Naaman went away in a rage. Wasn't what he planned. It was an He was embarrassed in front of everybody. All his entourage that he brought, all his gifts was of no value. He couldn't buy him anything. All he had to do was humble his heart and obey, and it was too much. The price was too high. So he went away in a rage. Now, to me, it's quite a simple thing. If I had leprosy, it was something that was going to take my life. It was defiguring me. It was something that was a scourge that people could look on and realize that they'd say, unclean, unclean. If this was what I was carrying, I think I'd humble myself and say, I'm going to go right down there. I'm going to get in that river. I'm going to start dunking. But this man had such pride that he couldn't humble his heart. He felt, for some reason, that was unjust for the prophet to say, not even come out and hardly acknowledge him. Didn't even lay eyes on him. I said, go on down there to that river. Dunk 7 times and your flesh will be renewed. The leprosy will be gone. That's what the messenger said. The blessing was within reach. Kingdom of heaven was at hand. And he walked away in a rage. Because it required humility. Something that Naaman didn't have a very big storehouse of. He may have had a lot of gold and a lot of silver. That all may have been in his hand, but he didn't have much humility. Trying to see where I left off. What did it say in the rate? Which verse? 13. 12th verse where it said he went away, so he turned and went away in a rage. And his servants came near and spake unto him and said, his servants came near and said unto him and said, my father, I don't know which one came and spoke to him like this, but a servant came up there and notice how he entreated him. A man in a rage is sometimes very difficult to entreat. A man who had walked away with such offense, pretty hard to turn that ship around. But this servant came up, approached him as such, I can almost hear the kindness in his words. My father, if the prophet had bid thee do some great thing, if he said, give me not only all the gold and silver and the change of raiment that you have, but give me some more, I think you may have done that. If he would have commanded something great, wouldn't you have done it? Because he could have bought that. All that he could have got a hold of. He could have said, all right, from my own pocket I bought my healing. Folks, sin has such a stain that you cannot buy your healing. It's purchased at Calvary. This man, and we've got to do the same thing Naaman had to do. We have to humble down. But Naaman, the servant came and said, my father, if the prophet had bid thee do some great thing, would thou not have done it? How much rather then when he saith to thee, wash and be clean? Just go obey. Go over to that river. Don't matter what it looks like. He just told you to go do that. Why not just go and obey? I think Naaman may have stopped for a little bit and looked over at his servant and listened to his words. And maybe the countenance of his face, all the anger that had been showing out of his face, it may have begun to soften and tender a little. Looked over at his caring servant and
may have said, "Oh, my friend, you've said truly. Why not? Why be in such a rage? Has that ever helped any one of us if we've invested that kind of carnality? Has it ever been good?" I submit to you, it's never been good. It's hurt everyone who's went down that road. It was going to hurt Naaman too. His servant, his friend, came and said, "My father." Naaman listened. Then went he down and dipped 7 times in the Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God. And his flesh came again, like unto the flesh of a child. Wonder how that happened and how he felt. The prophet had said, "Do it 7 times," and that's a process. He had to do it 7 times. Go down, come up. Leprosy still there. One, he could have stopped at 6 and he never got it. He could have said, "He's still making a fool out of me. I'm starting to feel worse. And here all my entourage is around here watching me out here going up and down this whole stream." Oh. But he kept listening to the words of his friend. He said, "Wouldn't you do? Go down again." And he came up and I wonder what must have went through his mind, through his thoughts, probably like a lightning bolt when he came up that 7th time and looked over at that spot. "You look like a baby again. Your skin's clean, Master." He knew there was a God in Israel now. It's different. Let me ask you, how well do you think Naaman would have wanted to go back and do war against the children of Israel after that? I think it'd have been pretty hard for him to do that. There's a God over there. He can even take the most defiled man, the mockery that sin has made, he can turn him around, he can change him and make him new. Naaman had experienced it. He knew what it was. He was a leper. That was Naaman, this great and mighty man, but yet he was a leper. He had the mark of the stain of that disease on him, and it marked him in front of everybody's eyes. The little maid saw it. And this now, he went and obeyed the Lord, humbled down in front of all his high-ranking officials around him, all those that came with him. He went out here in that stream and ducked 7 times and he came up and got his blessing. I believe it changed Naaman. Well, the story goes on. You know, part of it is extremely sad to me because there was a servant there of Elisha that had seen the whole thing happen. He should have, he had been accustomed to seeing the Lord work mightily. Perhaps he had almost taken it for granted. I don't know, but for whatever reason, Naaman was wanting to pay. Let me go back. Let me give you this as a gift. And Elisha said, no, you can't pay me because I'm just a man. You can't, the way you pay God is serve Him, but you can't pay for this thing. This is of God, not of me. He was unwilling to make merchandise of God's glorious mercy. He was unwilling to do that. And there's something else here that I know it can be taken different ways, but I found it interesting that Naaman said, "Could I at least have, what do you say, two mules worth of dirt, earth?" Is that what he said? "And when I go back home and I enter into the house where my king, where he goes in to worship, in my mind, this is the way I interpret it, and it could be interpreted other ways, But I like to think that Naaman thought, this is holy ground over here. The Lord did something for me. And if I can just have, I can't pay you for it. I can't give you the money. But can I have some of your land that when I go over into the house of the Lord, can I spread this out? And he's leaning on my arm and he's giving obeisance to his God. If you let me spread out this on the ground and I can kneel on that and begin to worship your Lord. I don't know. I like to think perhaps that was going through Naaman's mind. I believe he was changed. I think something happened to Naaman. I think there was a healing in his physical body, but I think there was something that God did something in his heart. He had an encounter with God that changed the man. I mean, we're all, I'm not saying he got saved. I don't know. We're going to have to leave all that in the hands of the Lord. But there's not any of us that have an encounter like that with the Lord that we can go away and not be changed. Something happened. But the sad part is that that servant that had seen all this, perhaps had been the bearer of the very command or the very counsel that was given Naaman. Go down there and you dip seven times. Perhaps he was the one that delivered the message. You dip seven times in the River Jordan and you come up and your skin will return to normal. It'll be just healed up. And that servant, when he saw Elisha turn away the great offer of gift, he harbored in his heart an idea that I believe I can get some of that. So when they sent him away, the servant got to conniving in his mind and he said, if I hurry, I think I can catch him. Again, I'm going to put this in my words, but you can read it here in this chapter. He took in after him, hurried out there. He said, hang on just a little bit. He said, there's some friends have come by unexpectedly. And if you just give a little bit to them. Okay. And Naaman was happy. Oh, you can have this and more. Here. In fact, I tell you what, I've got one of my servants here. I got a couple of them, and they'll carry it back for you. You just lead the way. And he went back, said when he came in, I think, to the gate or the entering in of the city. He found a little hiding place and turned aside into this house and stored it over there. And then he wipes his hands like everything's okay, wiped his mouth, I'm doing good. And he went back to Elisha, and Elisha said, where'd you go? Nowhere. I'm doing fine. He said, my heart went with you. I was hoping you wouldn't. All the time you went out there. Such a sad story in my mind. Folks, sin's infectious. He went out instead of getting all that gift. He got that. Carried it back anyway. But he got more than that. He got the leprosy of Naaman. He came back and carried the curse. He invested in something that was horrible for him to invest in. I think it's a sad story to think of what the man had such great opportunity. He saw the Lord work, and somewhere along the way, he got his carnal passions all mixed up in what he wanted. And he thought, I think I can find. And you notice what? He used lies. He used deception. He invested in all the evil that sin. He got his hands on that. And for a little while, he had the gold perhaps in his pocket. But he got the leprosy. And it cost him.
And I just encourage us. Now, the healing of Naaman, you notice how that came about? It came about with him, for one thing, there was a little girl that knew something about the Lord. She had had an encounter. She'd been over there and they had stolen her, and she was unwilling to invest in the evil, the leprosy of sin. She was unwilling to do that. And out of the kindness of her heart, she said, I wish you would go over there before the prophet of the Lord. He's got something for you. You could be healed. Oh, she preached him a gospel message, gave him some hope. She went up and the words came to him, and people heard her say that, and they shared somewhere. They believe the words were so strongly said, so convincingly said, that they said, I believe she's telling something that's real. This wasn't just a fanciful story that came out of her mouth. She was telling something that she had encountered and that rung true in her heart. And they said, Naaman, I wish you'd go over there. We're going to work it out. And you go. The road that Naaman took then was one. First, he had a sackload of pride, and he had to begin to divest of that until he came down. And to the end, he said, can I at least take some of your dirt home? Sounds to me like that's what he was saying. Can I? But he had to humble his heart, and he got his healing. Tells me something about ourselves. You want something from the Lord? Humble your heart. Be in that place, as the songwriter said, just as a stream finds a bed that is lowly, so Jesus walks with the pure and the holy. The Lord wants us to be lowly, not prideful. Naaman had to do that. He had to humble himself down. This was the healing of Naaman. It was more. It was more than just a physical healing. Though he got his physical healing, but I think something happened inside Naaman's heart. A Syrian, he wasn't a Jew, but the Lord reached his hand out to the man and worked with him. I'm encouraged by that. I want to encourage us as we go from here, as we go through life, that we may follow the same route, the same path that Naaman took. I don't know how he walked after this. I don't know much more about Naaman. But this story tells me something about the way the Lord, what he requires of us. He doesn't, he's a loving God. He's a very caring God. But he wants us to humble our hearts under the, humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God and allow him to do his mighty work in us. So pray for me. I want to also live in that way, in that walk in that path where God's holiness and his righteousness and his healing for our life will be experienced in every part. Pray for me. I want to serve you.